ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। डे फ्रॉम द 11th चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द यूनिवर्सल फॉर्म टेक्स्ट नंबर 52। श्री भगवान उवाच सुदुष्दर्शमिदं रूपं दृष्टावानसि यन्मम देवा अप्यस्य रूपस्य नित्यं दर्शनकंक्षिणः। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Arjuna, this form of mine you are now seeing is very difficult to behold. Even the demigods are ever seeking the opportunity to see this form, which is so dear." A very interesting purport, so please listen very carefully. In the 48th verse of this chapter, Lord Krishna concluded revealing his universal form and informed Arjuna that this form is not possible to be seen by so many pious activities, sacrifices, etc. Now here the word Sudurdarsham is used, indicating that Krishna's two-handed form is still more confidential. One may be able to see the universal form of Krishna by adding a little tinge of devotional service to various activities like penances, Vedic study and philosophical speculation. It may be possible, but without a tinge of bhakti, one cannot see. That has already been explained. Still, beyond that universal form, the form of Krishna with two hands is still more difficult to see. And we have evidence in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when he was supposed to be in the womb of his mother, Devaki, all the demigods from heaven came to see the marvel of Krishna and they offered nice prayers to the Lord, although he was not at that time visible to them. They waited to see him. A foolish person may deride him, thinking him an ordinary person, and may offer respect not to him, but to the impersonal something within him. But these are all nonsensical postures. Krishna, in his two-armed form, is actually desired to be seen by demigods like Brahma and Shiva. In Bhagavad Gita 9.11, it's also confirmed, Avajananti maam mudah manushim tanum ashritaha. He is not visible to the foolish persons who deride him. Krishna's body, as confirmed by Brahma Samhita and confirmed by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita, is completely spiritual and full of bliss and eternality. His body is never like a material body. But for some who make a study of Krishna by reading Bhagavad Gita or similar Vedic scriptures, Krishna is a problem. For one using a material process, Krishna is considered to be a great historical personality and very learned philosopher. But he is an ordinary man. And even though he was so powerful, he had to accept a material body. Ultimately, they think that the absolute truth is impersonal. Therefore, they think that from his impersonal feature, he assumed a personal feature attached to material nature. This is a materialistic calculation of the Supreme Lord. Another calculation is speculative. Those who are in search of knowledge also speculate on Krishna and consider him to be less important than the universal form of the Supreme. Thus, some think that the universal form of Krishna, which was manifested to Arjuna, is more important than his personal form. According to them, the personal form of the Supreme is something imaginary. They believe that in the ultimate issue, the absolute truth is not a person. But the transcendental process is described in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, to hear about Krishna from authorities. That is the actual Vedic process. And those who are actually in the Vedic line hear about Krishna from authority. And by repeated hearing about him, Krishna becomes dear. As we have several times discussed, Krishna is covered by his Yogamaya potency. He is not to be seen or revealed to anyone and everyone. Only by one to whom he reveals himself can he be seen. This is confirmed in Vedic literature. For one who is surrendered soul, the absolute truth can actually be understood. The transcendentalist, by continuous Krishna consciousness and by devotional service to Krishna, can have his spiritual eyes opened and can see Krishna by revelation. Such a revelation is not possible even for the demigods. Therefore, it is difficult even for the demigods to understand Krishna. And the advanced demigods are always in the hope of seeing Krishna in his two-handed form. The conclusion is that although to see the universal form of Krishna is very, very difficult and not possible for anyone and everyone, it's still more possible to understand his personal form as Shyama Sundara. Hare Krishna. So I welcome all of you to this evening's session of the Bhagavad Gita. So we are continuing to discuss on this 11th chapter where the Lord shows to Arjuna his universal form. And after showing the universal form, when Arjuna requests the Lord to show him once again his two-handed form, because the universal form is too fantastic to behold. It's too glaring. The effulgence of the Lord is completely overwhelming to Arjuna. And he requests the Lord that, my dear Lord, please show me once again your two-handed form. And in this particular shloka, Lord Krishna tells Arjuna that this particular form that you are seeing is very, very difficult to behold. And even demigods are continuously seeking to see him in this particular form. And all of us are so fortunate that every day we are able to see the Lord in that same two-handed form, here in the same temple of Radha Sisi Radha Gopinath Mandir. So for one who has devotion, he is able to see the Lord himself in his two-handed form. For a materialistic person who comes to the temple, when he sees the Lord standing over here, very often what he sees is a marble statue. And he thinks that that's all that is. The Lord is just a marble statue. And Srila Prabhupada here in this purport explains so many different points. So we'll just select a few of them in order to elaborate. And one point that Srila Prabhupada makes over here is that it's possible to see the Lord only with bhakti. Only by a person who has devotion will be able to see the Lord. Otherwise, for him, it's just a mundane statue, either made of marble or metal or wood. And in this connection, there is a very beautiful story, or rather pastime, which took place just to highlight how a person who doesn't have that particular vision, although he may be having the Lord right in front of him, is not able to see the Lord. So this happened a few hundred years ago. in South India. So in South India, every day, there is a practice to take the Lord out on procession. It's called a palki. And the Lord comes out of the temple in order to give his darshan to the people out in the streets. So those who do not want to see the Lord in his temple, the Lord comes out. Like we have the Jagannath Rath Yatra. Every year the Lord comes out from his temple in Jagannath Puri. And millions and millions of people come to see the Lord. So it's not that the Lord cannot be seen inside the temple. But for those who do not have the faith, or who are atheistic and who do not believe in the existence of the Lord, for them the Lord personally comes out just to give his darshan to them. So even though you may not want to see the Lord in the temple, you are forced to see the Lord out when he comes out to give his darshan. So we had this deity of Lord Ranganath who was out on a procession. And there was a great saint who was accompanying this particular procession. And as the procession was going on, the saint happened to see that there was one person in the procession. Not exactly in the procession, he was standing to the side. And this person, instead of looking at the Lord, who was actually giving darshan, he was holding an umbrella over a lady. And he was so much engrossed in looking into the eyes of this lady. So the saint who was in the procession happened to look at this person and he decided to give him his mercy. So he told his servant that you go and call this person to me. So the servant went to this person who was so much engrossed in looking at the eyes of his wife. And he told him that my spiritual master wants to meet you. So this person was a little bit bewildered why the spiritual master has to come and request to meet him. But still, he decided to go and meet him. And when he approached this saintly person, the saintly person asked him, what is it that you are seeing in your wife that is so beautiful that when the Lord is giving darshan, you're not even looking at the Lord? This person said that actually I'm so much enraptured by the sight of the beauty of my wife's eyes that I'm not able to see anything else. So this is the nature of material attraction, particularly the attraction between the opposite sex. A man finds a woman very attractive. There are certain features in him that he finds very attractive. And he gets so much mesmerized by her looks that he is not able, or rather he is bewildered completely by those looks. And nowadays, we find that there is a whole industry which is geared up towards trying to attract a mind of an individual towards the sense objects. The advertising industry, in fact, is completely focused only on trying to attract a person. Attract all his senses towards the sense objects. And the whole reason why a person is attracted is because of this particular propensity that he has in him of lust. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says in the third chapter, Kamayesha Krodayesha Rajaguna Samudbaha. The whole reason why a person is completely attracted or completely bewildered in this material world is because of lust. And it is this lust, the Lord tells Arjuna, that keeps him bound up to this material world. It's so overpowering. It is the single most factor which keeps a person tied up to this material world. The attraction of the sense objects. And ultimately, when a man gets attracted to a woman or a woman gets attracted to a man, what he sees is only this external features, or he or she, what they see is just the external features. And if a person were to look just below this features that he is seeing externally, what would he see? The substances that he would see would be completely deplorable. If one were to just go below the skin and examine what are the ingredients that are there below the skin, those ingredients are actually completely nauseating. He would not even want to look at them. And in this connection, Srila Prabhupada would often quote a very beautiful story to highlight what is this so-called beauty that a person sees in the opposite sex. Either a woman sees in a man or a man sees in a woman. So in a village, there was this very beautiful lady who also happened to be very chaste. And there was this man who was a very wealthy person in that village who was by nature very lusty. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai. So one day he happened to see this woman, and because she was beautiful, immediately his lust was awakened and he wanted to enjoy her. So one day he comes to this woman and tells her that, "I would like to enjoy you." And this woman realized that this man was very powerful and she could not give any excuse, or she could not avoid him. So being very chaste, she told this man, "Not a problem. You can come and enjoy me after 7 days. You can come and see me after 7 days, and after that you will be able to enjoy me." So this man, all that he could think of for 7 days was this lady, and he was continuously meditating on how he could enjoy her. The Bhagavad Gita explains that for a person with an uncontrolled mind is his worst enemy. And for a person whose mind is controlled, his mind is his best friend. So this uncontrolled mind is the basic cause of suffering in this material world. Because it's explained that this material world, there is sufficient for everyone's need. But even one person's greed, this whole material world is inadequate. So when a person is greedy or lusty to be wanting to enjoy these facilities that are there in this material world, even if you offer him this whole world, it's inadequate. Because that's the nature of this uncontrolled mind. So we see that a person tries to accumulate in this material world so much of facilities, much, much beyond his capacity to enjoy them, only because he is driven by this uncontrolled mind. This uncontrolled mind of his keeps telling him that whatever you have is inadequate. Achieve more, achieve more, achieve more. So the more you have, the more you want to have more of it. A person who is the richest man in the world, if one were to just understand what is the amount of wealth that he has, it's much, much more than what he would be able to spend in one single lifetime. Even if he were to spend 24 hours of the day to spend the wealth that he has, his entire lifetime is inadequate. So that's the amount of wealth that the richest man in the world has. But because he is not satisfied with whatever he has, his mind drives him to earn more and more and more. And even with that sort of a wealth, he's unsatisfied. So that's why this particular saying that there is not sufficient in this world for a man's greed is very true. And in fact, this whole advertising industry is just based on this particular aspect, that somehow or the other try to exploit the greed that a person has. Make him work harder just so that he is able to earn more money in order to satisfy this greed. But this greed can never be satisfied. It's impossible to satisfy this greed. So that's the reason why we have to come to the scriptures. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevayam. Upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinaha. Srila Prabhupada says here in the purport that the way to understand the truth is to approach a bona fide spiritual master. It's only through the process of hearing, through the process of shravanam, that we will be in a position to understand the truth. And the truth is that this material world is a place of suffering. And to the extent that we are trying to make this world into a place of happiness, to that extent we will be frustrated. Because that is how this whole material world is structured. It is made in such a way to frustrate every endeavor that we are making. And true knowledge is to understand that we cannot get happiness in this material world. All our efforts are finally going to be ending in death. Because this body has got a very limited time span. At the most, in Kali Yuga, the present age that we are living in, at the most, this human body can live for 100 years. 100 years. And this actually 100 years is such an insignificant time span. If you look at it from the span of what a person would live in Satya Yuga. A Satya Yuga, people would live for 100,000 years. So compared to that 100,000 years, a lifespan of 100 years is completely insignificant. And even in this 100 years, if you were to analyze, the last 30 or 40 years, a person is basically completely in such a decrepit condition. His body is becoming so difficult for him to enjoy. It's deteriorating so fast. Once you cross the age of 60, practically your body is dysfunctional. You have so many diseases in your body. So the last 40 years of this 100 years, your body is not in any position to facilitate enjoyment. And the first 10-15 years, when you are a child, you do not have any awareness on how to enjoy this material body. The real awareness comes into you only when you are a little bit older. So basically, the body is facilitating enjoyment only for about 40 to 45 years. And yet, in order to enjoy those 40, 45 years, we put in so much of endeavor, so much of hard work. Not understanding the true goal of life. Not understanding that if for this few years we put in our effort to realize God, we can perfect this human form of life in this life itself. The goal of this human form of life is not sense gratification. The goal of this human form of life is self-realization. Realizing that we are not this body, we are the spirit soul. And our relationship is with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. That is the goal of this human form of life. Understanding this, acquiring this knowledge. And using this human form of life as a vehicle to go home back to Godhead. So this man, he was so much caught up in his bodily concept of life, so much wanted to enjoy his senses, that he was waiting for the 7 days in order to be able to enjoy this woman. And Srila Prabhupada used to graphically describe how this woman, during that 7 day period, she took so many purgatives and laxatives, and she was vomiting throughout and passing loose stool, and all this stool and vomit she collected in a huge brass container, and then at the end of 7 days her whole body had become so emaciated. So from a young beautiful girl, she actually became at least 40 years older. Her skin was withered and shrunken. And then at the end of the 7 days, on the appointed hour, she was waiting outside the house, waiting for this man to come. And this man, with this inflamed desire to enjoy, all the time meditating, for the last 7 days he was meditating on nothing else. How I'm going to be enjoying this woman? So he dressed himself very beautifully. And then he came towards the house of this lady. And when he approached the house of this lady, he saw that outside sitting was an old woman. So he asked this old woman, "Where is this young beautiful lady who was staying in this house?" So this, but he could not recognize that actually it's the same woman. The same woman that 7 days earlier, whom he had eyed so lustily and whom he wanted to enjoy, was actually the woman to whom he was talking to. He could not recognize her because she had already become, because of the purgatives and laxatives she was taking, she had become like an old woman. So this woman told this man, "Please come inside. Please come inside the house." And when this man entered, this old woman told This woman told this man that actually the woman that you are seeing, who you thought was the woman who you had seen 7 days back, is the same woman. It's me. This man said, "Come on, don't tell me this. You can't be the same woman. The woman who I knew was very beautiful. She was very young. You are an old woman. How could it be? Where is your beauty gone?" So this woman said, "All this beauty I have kept it stored for you." And then she took him to this container where she had collected all this stool and vomit. And this man, he was immediately taken aback by seeing this and smelling the stool and vomit. So through this, this lady wanted to convey a very important lesson, not just to this man, to all of us. Ultimately, this body is made up of blood and pus and stool and urine and vomit and mucus. And if one were to just go below the skin, one is able to see all the substances, which are actually so disgusting, so nauseating. If you were to see a person who is on the operation theater, cut up, his stomach exposed and all the organs over there in the body exposed. If you were to see a woman or a man, you would never be able to relate that person who is there on the operation theater with the person who you have been knowing all this for so many years. It's a completely different person. But actually the person is the same. So here we had a man who was looking at his wife's eyes and he was so much enraptured. So the saintly person asked, so suppose I were to show you the eyes of a person much more beautiful than the eyes of your wife, would you be willing to worship that person? And this person, whose name was Dhanurdha, said, of course. Because for me, my wife's eyes are the most beautiful in the whole world. If you are able to show me eyes which are more beautiful than my wife's eyes, definitely, I will worship those eyes. And the saintly person took Dhanurdhas to see the deity of the Lord, Ranganath. And actually, if one were to see the Lord with a little bit of devotion, there is nothing in the world that can compare to the beauty of the Lord. Devotees of the Lord come before the Lord to see the Lord just so that they can experience the beauty of the Lord. And the Brahma Samhita explains that a person whose eyes are anointed with love, when he comes before the Lord, he does not see marble or he does not see metal. He actually sees the Lord standing over there in his threefold bending form. Lord Sri Krishna is actually physically standing over there. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. A person whose eyes are anointed with the salve of love, when he comes before the Lord, he actually sees the Lord. And yet, some people say, as the Prabhupada says here in the Purport, some people say that the Lord does not have a form. How can the Lord not have a form? It's completely incomprehensible for a devotee of the Lord, for a Vaishnava, to be told that the Lord does not have a form is for him completely incomprehensible. Because for him, the Lord has a form. And even if you were to look at it from a very mundane perspective, if you were to tell somebody that your child does not have a form, a mother, for example, if you were to tell the mother that the child, your child, does not have a form, what will she tell you? She'll say, what you're saying is bogus. Of course, my child has a form. I'm able to see my child. I'm able to hold my child. I'm able to embrace my child. I'm able to kiss my child. So no mother will be ready to accept that the child does not have the form. So when the child has a form, how can the Lord not have a form? Obviously, the Lord has to have everything that you have or your child has. So the impersonal worshippers of the Lord who say that the Lord do not have a form are completely defeated by this argument. When you tell them that it's impossible. When your child is a form, obviously the Lord has to have your form. Because the Lord has to have everything and more than what you have. But there are a class of people who believe that the Lord does not have a form. And they will try their level best to convince you in so many ways that the Lord does not have a form. But for a devotee of the Lord, for him, such arguments are completely baseless. He doesn't even want to listen to any such arguments which are put forward to say that the Lord does not have a form. In fact, the whole of last month, we have been worshipping the Lord in this form as Damodar, baby Krishna. It's so sweet. It's so nectarian. When you look at the Lord in the form of a baby, and this particular pastime that the Lord performs only to convince us that He has a form, so that we are able to relate to Him. And morning and night we sing these beautiful prayers known as Damodar Ashtakam. Meditating on the form of the Lord as a small baby. And giving so much of pleasure to His mother. Giving so much of pleasure to us. And this particular month of Kartik, this whole month, we are worshipping the Lord as in the form, in His form, as a small baby. Because small babies are very easy to be loved and cared, and you can shower your affection on a small baby. Right? Just like how Mother Yashoda, she would do anything for Lord Krishna. She never thought that baby Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to her, baby Krishna was a small child, always depending upon her to be taken care of. The Lord covered Mother Yashoda just so that he could experience, or she could experience this love. If Mother Yashoda thought that baby Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how could she experience this affection? She would be filled with awe, and you know, she would be worshipping baby Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not as a small baby. So the Lord covers mother, His own mother's eyes and vision, just so that she can experience the love between the mother and the child. And similarly, when we are also seeing the Lord in the form of a small baby, our heart goes out, our heart melts. And this whole month of Kartik is basically for us to experience that love towards the Lord in the form of a baby. And this whole prayer of Damodar Ashtakam that we have been singing for the whole month, morning and evening, and offering the lamp of love to the Lord, is nothing but the love that we have for the Lord in His personal form. So how can anybody, any devotee, even consider that the Lord does not have a form? So Srila Prabhupada in this particular purport is emphasizing that the Lord has to have a form. There is no question. And yet this particular form, the Lord is explaining, is very difficult for a person to see. In fact, Brahma and Shiva are hankering to see the Lord in this particular form, this two-handed form. So the Lord gives us His darshan so that we can relate to Him. We can express our love to Him. This is His mercy upon us, that we are able to have this opportunity to take His darshan. And sing His glories and look at Him with love and affection. Is there any question or comments?
Sorry?
No, the old lady was an example to make us understand that this body that we are so much attached to, detachment is the first step. We have to get ourselves detached from our attachments to this material world. That is the first step towards getting attached to Krishna. This process of getting attached to Krishna is to be looked at from a positive angle. Because it's impossible for us to detach ourselves from this material world unless we get attached to something. Yes, in this particular story. That particular story was given only for us to understand that this material body is actually, which is made up of so many material elements, we are so much attached to it, it's actually something which is very disgusting. From that point of view, this particular story was narrated. But the process of getting ourselves attached to Krishna, through the process of getting attached to Krishna, we get detached from this material body, to which we are actually attached to. You know, the whole material conception, which we have been right from the time of birth, is to be attached to this material body. How do we get over this attachment to this material body? The way to get detached from this material body is to be attached to Krishna. Yeah, you can say that. This, through the process of understanding that there is something more than just being attached to this material body. That is the first step. Knowledge, getting, like Srila Prabhupada says in one of his purports, that what is true knowledge? True knowledge is understanding the difference between matter and spirit. Understanding that we are not this material body. Our identification with this material body is the root cause of suffering in this material world. When we identify ourselves with this body, I and mine, and we think that all that we own is in relation to this material body, but the spirit soul has got nothing to do with this body. So that is true knowledge. Understanding that we are not this body is true knowledge. And our connection of the spirit soul is with Krishna. We are part and parcel of Krishna. That is knowledge. And the process by which we get ourselves detached from the material body and get attached to Krishna is Krishna consciousness. Intellectual emotions is one of the ways to be attached to Krishna. But in Kali Yuga, intellectually we cannot understand Krishna. In Kali Yuga, but in Kali Yuga, our mind being uncontrolled, you know, our mind is so much uncontrolled that we are not able to understand Krishna through our mind. So there is a recommended process in the age of Kali Yuga for controlling the mind. And that is the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This Maha Mantra chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the way to control the mind in Kali Yuga. So that is a recommended process. Like in every yuga, there is a recommended process to control your mind. In Satya Yuga, the recommended process is meditation. So through the process of meditation, because you have a long lifespan, you are able to meditate for thousands of years. But even though you may be meditating for thousands of years, that is no guarantee that you are able to achieve Krishna. It's only in Kali Yuga that we have the benediction that we can control the mind through the process of chanting. And by chanting, we can go home back to Godhead. Although we have a very short lifespan of just 100 years in Kali Yuga, because we have the benediction that by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we are able to perfect our life, this particular age of Kali Yuga is very, very worshipable. It's very auspicious. So that's a benediction that is given to us in this age of Kali Yuga. Controlling the mind through chanting. Are there any other questions? Thank you very much. So please keep coming every day. We have this Bhagavad Gita class in the evening. And we have a Srimad Bhagavatam class in the morning from 8:15 to 9:15. So if you are able to, you can come in the morning also and listen to various speakers who speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because it's only through the process of knowledge, as Srila Prabhupada says here in the purport, that you'll be able to understand Krishna. We should be getting knowledge through authority. And that knowledge enhances our spiritual development. Thank you very much. So please stay back. There's going to be Kirtan now. So please stay back. And then there'll be our darshan at 8:50.